Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.
Bernier battling with Yamelin. The puck comes loose back to the left point. Pettersson ready with a slap shot. They score! Dale Weiss in front. He tips it home. And it's 5-2. David Desharnais having another good game tonight. Hands it off to Weiss, who has his seventh of the season. He will knuckle that in and scores again. Dale Weiss off a feed from Pettersson. It's 6-2.
Pettersson does a great job. He gets it and throws it right to Dale Weiss. Goes to the front of the net again. Who was saying that Dale Weiss should be on the first line?
La troisième étoile, the third star, Dale Weiss.
Dale Weiss gets it past Chera, near circle, sends it to the net, and just off the stick of Desharnais and White. Weiss scores! Dale Weiss! As Price knocks it down with 7 seconds to go, they've won two in a row and four straight against Boston here in 2014-15. What a game for the Habs. 3-1 the final as they pour over the boards and come to congratulate Carey Price.
Every Tuesday and Thursday at this time, we are joined by TSN hockey analyst. He's in Toronto for the Maple Leafs Rangers game on TSN tonight. Ray Ferraro, how are you?
I'm doing great. I guess things are good in Montreal.
Yes, that was an impressive weekend. I was in the seats for that game in Boston. First time in years I've been able to watch a game. You're a lucky guy, Ray Ferraro. You know that, right? Your seat in the house, you got the best seat in the house?
It's awesome. And that's why when I have to work upstairs, even though it is still pretty great, I miss being down on the ice. I really do.
I forgot what it felt like. Let's put it that way. I mean, we get a lot of perks in this business, including and especially not having to pay to get in the building. But once in a while, y'all ought to try it. Get down in the seats and see what you're missing. So I said I was going to try to tie you and Dale Weiss together in a roundabout way.
Okay.
Now you know this raging debate. I mean, what else do you complain about a team that's going as well as the Canadiens have this season, right? It's like,
right. Like
what are they doing putting Dale Weiss with their best players? Why does Therrien keep doing this, right? And there are people who really believe that he is nothing but a fourth-line player. And, you know, I think probably late last season through the playoffs, if you watch him a lot, he's got size. He skates very well for a big guy. He's got hands. He seems to have a penchant for scoring big goals. He'll use his body. I mean, this is a good player. Put a good player with better players, and they should go from a good player to a good plus player. I don't know. I'm gonna let you at this in a second, Ray. I know you can't wait to. So I'm thinking like Dale Weiss scored. I know he had a big year in the American Hockey League. Scored 29 goals with the Hartford Wolfpack in the American Hockey League, and there are people who say, well, so what, right? Just had our intern check. In the last 5 years, 56 players have scored 29 or more goals in the American Hockey League. That's like, what, 8 or 9 a year? Maybe 10 a year?
Yeah, not very many.
And I checked the roster that he played with. One of the coaches there was J.J. Daigneault. When you scored 108 goals, Ray Ferraro, in the Western League, how many of your teammates ended up playing in the National Hockey League?
Our goalie, Ron Hextall. Cam Plante played a couple of games.
Cam Plante?
Yep. Played a couple of games with Toronto.
Well, I missed him.
Dave Tomlinson played a couple of games somewhere. I'm going to say that's it.
Yeah. So I'm looking at this roster, and I go, okay, Zach Smith was on that team, and he's had a decent career with Ottawa. And I think Corey Locke, who's one of those guys who's had a brilliant American Hockey League career,
yeah,
but never played well in the NHL and or maybe never had the opportunity. And I don't see that. I think Mike Brown, the rugged winger, played on that team. There may be one or two other guys. So it's not like he had a frontline centerman feeding them these pucks. Same thing in junior hockey. So tell me what you think of Dale Weiss.
I agree with all that you said earlier. You forgot one part, and I think it's almost the most important part, and that's to play with good players when you're playing above your depth. And Weiss is playing above his depth right now, is you have to have the ability to think. And when you have the ability to think, I don't mean walking down the street. I mean on the ice. that you have, you think, and you realize you've got to get out of your own way. And what are your great strengths? Like, if Dale Weiss thinks his great strength is carrying the puck up the ice through the middle of the ice and is going to make a nice little soft dish pass, then he's going to be on the fourth line in no time. But if he gets the puck on the boards in his zone and he gets it into Desharnais's hands and he skates in a straight line, the puck's chipped into the corner, he gets a body on it, he turns the puck over, Pacioretty gets it, they make a quick little pass, and then he drives to the front of the net, which is what he's doing, he's an effective player. Like, he should not be a fourth-line player with his skill set. I think he can be a third-line guy.
That's the conclusion that I reached a while ago. Watching him play, and watching him play important games, this is better than a fourth-line guy. He's been labeled. He had a coach who didn't respect his ability to play. He wanted him to do other things. And he's got an opportunity, perhaps as a result of J.J. Daniel working with him in the American Hockey League. That's just a guess. I don't know that for a fact. Who might have said to Michel Therrien, give this guy some more ice time, he will produce for you.
Almost everybody needs a champion. Very few guys come out of nowhere and they're just so good they impress everybody. Most rank-and-file players need a champion. They need somebody to believe in them. And so maybe Daniel is that for Weiss. The crazy part about the thing with Tortorella, John Tortorella, last year in Vancouver, is when Dale Weiss was with the Rangers, he wasn't playing very much. Tortorella was the coach. They tried to send him down to play for a couple of weeks, you know, to get some games in. And when they lost him on waivers to Vancouver, Tortorella he didn't like it. He thought Weiss had more. Then he gets to Vancouver and never uses him. I mean, it didn't make any sense at all. And then he got a get-out-of-jail-free card. And one thing that I noticed from afar, I've never met Dale Weiss, but just from afar, is he's really confident.
Mm-hmm.
He believes that he can be better than what other people think. And the trick is, when the big moment has showed up for him, he's answered. And so, you know, back in the playoffs last year, he didn't shy away from Lucic. He had a key part in that series. He's kind of bounced around. I mean, he was healthy scratched at some point this year.
Yes.
And now he's getting this opportunity, and he's clearly smart enough to say, man, this is the brass ring here. I mean, the Canadians don't have a lot of size, so he's got that. Now he's in a role what he probably never thought he was going to, never even dream of being in this position. He just wanted a regular shift, and now he's taking advantage of it. I thought he was fantastic the other night in Boston. You know, that's not an easy place to play, and, you know, the play he made on the Pacioretty goal, that's a confident play, too. I mean, if you're not confident, once you fall down, you're just flailing away, and you slap the puck somewhere forward, and the puck gets intercepted, and he kind of rights himself and pitches it out into the open, and Pacioretty doesn't miss. I mean, it was really impressive.
Pass to Hamilton, and Weiss falling. Can he get it up top? He does. Breakaway. Here comes Pacioretty. Scores! Max Pacioretty between the pads of Rask, and the Canadians lead it 2-0.
You know what? You got to give the credit to Weiss. He's got chemistry with everyone he plays with. I think he's got the right mindset, and I think that's the biggest thing. He's going in there, and he knows he's going to be the hardest worker out there. And at the same time, he's got an undercover skill set that allows him to make plays for his line mates. And it's been a pleasure playing with him, and we hope to keep contributing to some wins as this season goes on.
I love that undercover skill set. Max Pacioretty loves playing with Dale Weiss. With Ray Ferraro in Toronto for the Leafs and Rangers tonight on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. Rod?
Ray, there's a great piece here locally in the Gazette on Dale Weiss, and he mentioned last year with the Canucks playing in Winnipeg for the first time in the NHL, his hometown of Winnipeg, and he'd bought a bunch of tickets for family and friends, and he was told the day before the game that he was going to be a healthy scratch in his hometown. And something happened the morning skate, a teammate of his was sick, and he ended up dressing for the game in his hometown, and he played two shifts, and he was benched in the second period and the third period and didn't see the ice again. You mentioned the importance of having an advocate. Can't there be someone, whether it's the GM, an assistant GM, an assistant coach, that can challenge a head coach, even someone who's won a championship like Tortorella, and go to bat for a player? Or is that just incredibly rare when the coach has someone pigeonholed and that's not going to change as far as he's concerned?
Well, I don't think it's rare at all. And a lot of times, you know, the manager presents the players to the coach. The coach looks at the players, and then he does what he thinks is best to try and win. And, you know, it's kind of funny because they're, you know, the manager always wants his players, you know, the guys he drafted or the guys he traded for, he wants those guys to play. And the coach really doesn't care because he just wants to win. Except at the end of the day, they're both tied to a win. You know, you win, you stay. You lose, you go. And so the one thing that has surprised me the most, Rod, since I've gotten into this business, is that in talking to coaches before games or after games, and, you know, and now I know a lot of them because, you know, they're 50 years old, which is what I am, and you know, you know them all, is how bitter almost coaches get at their own players. They almost, like, you rarely find a coach that says, yeah, I love my team. They're always like, oh, that guy can't do this, and this guy can't do that, and oh my God, look, I got to play this guy up here. Oh, look at our power play. And you say to them, yeah, you're in first place. It's like, yeah, but it's no good. It's like there's so much pressure to win that I think there gets a point where there's nothing that can be done to change their mind on certain players. Now, last year in Vancouver, I don't know this, but I'm convinced Tortorella didn't want to coach, but they offered him $10 million for 5 years, and he coached. There was dysfunction on that team that is so deep. I know John from a time when we worked together at TSN, and I was shocked by the lack of awareness that he had in dealing with people. You know, like when in that story where they talk about trading Dale Weiss, he doesn't say good luck. He doesn't say anything. He just leaves. Says, here, there's a couple deals in the fire. We're going to leave. Or a couple deals in the fire. Can't tell you where yet. You'll get a call. And then he leaves. Like, who deals with people like that? Well, which is maybe why he's not coaching anymore. But for Dale Weiss, I mean, that's in the rearview mirror, man. He's got this. What a great chance. You're on one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. This is the best time of his NHL career right now, production-wise. And he's got to ride with it. He's got to roll with it. And this is when Al Arbor, who you guys have heard me speak of before with great admiration, this is when Al Arbor would boot you in the rear end, is when you were going well. Because he didn't want you to lose what you had. When you were struggling, he patted you on the back and told you what a good player you were. When you were going well, he booted you in the rear end and said, hey, you didn't get that puck out. Come on, you can do better than that. And he kept you sharp. And for Dale Weiss, you got to ride this as long as it can go, because what a boon for the Canadians if he can stay here in this position. That's like found money. They got him for Rafael Diaz, who wasn't even playing for them.
Ray, what about the other two guys on the line, Pacioretty and Darnay? What's it like when you know that the third guy on the line might not be as skilled as you and the other guy on the line, however, you really like him and you do think he can help?
Well, again, I think it happens a lot, Mitch. I mean, the two lines that I had, or two of the lines I had the most success with, were pretty similar. I had a skilled guy on one side. It was John Anderson in Hartford and Benoit Hogue in New York with the Islanders. And on the right wing, it was Paul McDermott and Pat Flatley. Now, Flatley and McDermott didn't want to carry the puck anywhere. They were both really strong on the boards, and they could win puck battles, and then they'd get it to me. So both me and the other winger knew that their fill of the line was all the trench work. And we loved playing with those guys, because they did stuff we weren't capable of. You can't have three dancers together, right? There's got to be some blend to it. And I would say Pacioretty and Darnay in particular probably loves playing with Weiss. Not only because he's strong, but because he can skate. And so if you're Darnay, you like to hold the puck in the middle of the ice, and then you got these two big guys that can fly down the wings. So if he's got no play, he can pitch it into either corner, and they're going to get there at the same time as the D. Look at the week that Darnay just had. Right? I mean, like, he's got to love it. And so if everybody pulls their little piece of the rope, then you got a chance to be a successful line. I mean, who knew it was going to be like this? They put those names together on the board in the coach's office, and they said, God, I hope this works. And it worked. And so now you just keep running them forward till it doesn't work.
Habs and Flyers tonight right here on TSN 690.
It's been tough. I think I think last year was probably tougher. It was the first time that was, it was like that. So I think I got a good attitude towards it. I mean, every time I'm out there, I try to make it a good shift. And I think as a line, I think we've been playing well, playing that way.
Ray, what do you suppose Vinny LeCavalier is going through? Healthy scratch, his name, his stature as an NHL veteran. He's a fourth liner. He's been all year. When he finally got back into the lineup, he's still on the second power play unit, but he's a fourth line player right now.
Well, I mean, he was, at one time, of course, Vinny was one of the best players in the league. And so, I'm trying to think as my career went on, the toughest part is to accept your role when you know you're not as good as what you used to be. That's really tough. And so you try and adjust, you try and accept, but you don't really ever accept it, because there's always a spark of, see, I can do that. Like, you'll get a goal, or you'll make a play, or have a really good game, and you're like, see, it's there. The problem is, it's not there enough. And you're always the last guy to figure it out. And for Vinny, I'm sure he thinks a lot of times, I could do more on this team. I could play more. But the fact is, he doesn't skate well enough to do it consistently enough. And the game has gotten so fast, we all know if you can't move, you can't be productive. And unfortunately, for both the Flyers and Vinny, they committed big time after he got bought out, and now you're stuck. Like, I'll be honest, guys, when it was on free agent day, and we were in the studio in Toronto, and they were showing Vinny walking around New York, going from team hotel to team hotel, and I kept thinking, why are these teams offering him $5 million for 5 years? Like, he has trouble getting around the ice. And it became apparent pretty quickly that you can't just rejuvenate yourself. You can't just make your legs go faster. Larry Murphy, who was in the Hall of Fame, has a great line. And it's one of my favorites whenever I talk about an older player. He said he always knew that it was from the dot to the corner was 2 strides for him. And then he saw himself on tape, and it was 4 strides, and he knew it was time to go.
Which takes us to David Clarkson, a healthy scratch where you are. Toronto and the Rangers tonight, while the Canes and Flyers are doing battle. That's on TSN if you got the center ice package. This seems like, where is this going? We know where the Leafs as a franchise are going, but where is this going, this David Clarkson?
Oh, this is a 100-yard sprint in a 50-yard gym. I mean, it's going. It is at a dead end. And the biggest problem they have is they signed him to a contract that is as ironclad a contract as you can get. Like, they don't even really get any monetary benefits if they buy him out, because so much of the money is paid as a bonus in July 1st and in the subsequent years of the deal. There's 5 years left in this deal. And really, a lot of the things I just said about LeCavalier apply to David Clarkson. I think he tries. I think he cares. I think he wants to be better. He's just not. And the biggest problem is that he can't get around the ice. So the 30 goals he scored in New Jersey, to me, was his outlier year. Everything went his way. You get a rebound, he put it in. You get a deflection, he put it in. Heck, he's got 10 goals. I mean, if you're looking at a third line player making $3 million and he's playing somewhere that you don't see every night and he scores 15 goals, you'd be thrilled. But the one thing Clarkson can't do is he can't make an impact on any facet of the game right now, because he doesn't move quick enough. When he goes in, talk about Dale Weiss.
I was going to go there. Dale Weiss is a better player than David Clarkson.
Absolutely. And one of the reasons is when Dale Weiss goes into forecheck and he makes contact with the player and the puck goes behind the net, Weiss can get on his horse and go around the net. and then the play gets reversed around, he can get back there, and he can force the play. Clarkson can't do that. So he's not a quick enough skater. He's not a great passer. He's been on the second power play guys all year. He's got one more point than all of us. So, I mean...
Get your game going, Gallo.
Yeah, I mean, if you... it's unfathomable. Really, it is. And so you say, where does it go? I don't know where it goes. I can't imagine another team's going to take that contract for 5 years, even if the Leafs take back a boatload of money. You know, I mean, the only trade they can make, I could see, is you take back, you know, $2 million of the salary, and we'll give you a fifth-round draft pick.
Right.
Like, that's the only way they could move that contract. And so they are stuck. They are stuck. That's a bad decision. It's going to haunt them for sure.
Ray Ferraro in Toronto, Leafs and Rangers on TSN, Habs and Flyers tonight right here on your home of the Habs and the NHL trade deadline right around the corner, TSN 690. Thanks as always, Ray. We'll talk to you on Thursday.
Talk to you Thursday, guys. Be well. Bye.
Melnick in the afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.